This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for the news there. My name is Rich Bradbury. Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj. Frida Liu.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock. It is 12.04, coming up to 12.05. I wish I could say I'm staring out of the window at beautiful blue skies, but unfortunately we are not. It is grey. It is hazy. It's not going anywhere just yet, is it? That's what we are stuck with, ladies and gentlemen. But however, we're going to be talking to you today a lot of things about AI. Mm. Artificial intelligence, of course, something that we've touched upon many, many times. Today's topic of discussion, though, is about whether or not we are ready for artificial intelligence and AI co-workers. Yes. But I'm not talking about the robots that could be sat down next to you just yet. We'll get to that very shortly. That is our topic of discussion today. The question again, big tech claims AI and digitization will bring a better future, but are we ready for AI co-workers? Of course, some of that may be discussed at our event that is happening on Thursday. Yeah. If you didn't know about it, bfm.my/breakaway. There you go. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to take part in the question. Then moving on to story number two, a story coming from Frida. Shanghai's commuters can now design their own bus routes.
Also using AI, right?
Also using AI, yes, of course, with Alibaba and Alipay. Wrapping up with story number three, Facebook's latest AI experiment will upgrade your OOTD.
Facebook's AI could make you more fashionable, apparently.
I'm not so sure how I feel about this, right?
Wait till you hear the details.
Oh, my. It's going to be juicy, is it? Right. Okay, again, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Big tech claims AI and digitization will bring a better future, but are we ready for AI co-workers? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Bill Gates. He believes that today's business software, which he predominantly designed, isn't much better than business tools from pre-digital times. Here's a quote from him. He said, "I'd say most of the opportunity to make computers improve work is in front of us rather than behind us." This he told to a room full of Microsoft researchers and academics at their research summit back in July. Now, artificial intelligence could soon be bringing productivity tools to an inflection point after years of us slavishly digitizing and formatting words, numbers, and images. Future versions of Word, Excel, and Shudder, PowerPoint, will be much more aware of your work and how you do it. Intelligent algorithms could be finding patterns and meanings in your data and use these insights to help you get through the day more efficiently. They're also striving at Microsoft to understand the nature of work itself in the 21st century. They're looking to AI to help break down work into smaller tasks that fit in the slots of available time during our increasingly fragmented workdays. They want to build tools to help squeeze more out of their time in an age of distraction, a strategy that may be the key to a new, more intelligent generation of the office. Mm. So what they're talking about is the fact that distraction coming from technology has reached fever pitch, both in the office and outside. So in a survey of more than 500 workers, Rescue Time found that only 10% of respondents felt like they were in control of how they spent their time at work. Another survey from the University of California, they show that people switch computer screens, as in between your computer screen and your phone, on average of 566 times a day.
A day?
A day.
Whoa.
And people check their email around 77 times a day. Mm. Facebook users in her sample checked the social media site on average of 38 times per day between both your screens. So the days of focused, deep work may be over for many of us, but Microsoft Research Chief Scientist Jamie Teevan believes we should stop trying to fit old workflows into the new fragmented reality of the workday. They're talking about this idea of micro-productivity. Hmm. Either of you know what this is?
No.
No, something that really has got me very interested. So micro productivity means dividing up work into a series of small tasks, micro tasks, that require little time to complete and build toward the completion of a larger goal. Like when we use that 5-minute walk between buildings to answer an email or something like that. So the research into this shows that you can benefit by starting work on a large project by completing some of its less demanding micro tasks, then moving to more demanding ones as you settle into the project. And this is where the AI and your coworker gets involved. Some aspects of larger projects could be carved off as micro tasks and automated. So he says that leaving the humans will have the more creative and the engaging work. Now, the really interesting part I found here, the AI could analyze the work that you're doing and then work with you to break it into a to-do list of smaller tasks. Wow. So if you're a programmer building a new website feature, for example, the project might logically break down into subtasks like designing the interface, completing the documentation, pulling down the source code, and doing the research. Now, based on its knowledge of those tasks and your preferences, your work habits, and your schedule, the AI could help you figure out the right tasks to tackle at the right times. It might understand, for example, that your most productive times of day are mid-morning and late afternoon and suggest that you work on certain tasks that require the most creativity and concentration at those times.
Nice.
So this idea of the AI coworker is not like the robot sat next to you. It's that little assistant saying, hey, maybe right now what you should be doing is designing
I need one of these.
How good is this idea?
This is fantastic, right? I know, like, when I do, I've got a lot of things on my mind, and I know I have a lot of things to do, or so I think, but when I write it down and I break it down, I can see actually, okay, you know, and I love scratching it off when it gets done, right? But if someone knows my style and says, okay, maybe now, you know, it doesn't require much brain work, why don't you do this? And then now this requires more brain, you're most productive, now do this, it's going to take up so much time. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's exactly what I already do, and it would be great for AI to already
tell me.
Because sometimes we've got, like, just say a huge project, but then, you know, breaking it down into like smaller pieces, and then you build that momentum by checking off your to-do list, right? That's what I do all the time. But if AI could tell me exactly what time of the day to do it, when I'd be most focused, that would be great.
Right, see, and you've been laughing at me and my Google Home thing. Now you understand why. But I found it incredibly useful. You know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I don't want to say the words, but okay, G word, tell me about my day. And what it does, it will tell me what meetings I have, what events I'm doing, what I need to be recording, what I need to plan for. And then it will give me, oh, this is how long it takes you to go to work. This is how bad the haze is. And this is what your day should look like. Now, you take that and you apply it to something like doing research for an interview, for example, and it kind of already scans through your emails for people that you may have contacted. And it will then throw out this list of, oh, you contacted this person. Perhaps you should contact them again about this particular topic.
Right.
That, for me, is like a no-brainer.
It's already doing it on our Gmail right now, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, not only is it just completing my sentences in my email, which is great because it really sounds like me. You know, initially it didn't because it was really very formal, the language. But now it's like using the short forms that I would use.
Yeah.
Like, you know, thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Gmail would recommend that to Rich, but it does to me.
Yeah.
And that's great. And on top of that, if I've missed out on replying an email, you know, after 3 days, it will prompt me. So that already is making, it's helping to, you know, cut down the time I spend on email. So that's great. So if this could be used in, like, you know, what we do every day with our script writing or, you know, with our our production, our editing, our recordings, that would be great for us.
I'm sure there's one at 3 p.m. It's a snap time, Frida.
Snap time, right. There we are, ladies and gents. That's what we are talking about. Let us know. So big tech are claiming that AI and digitization will bring a better future, but are we ready for AI co-workers? You can let us know via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the number. Twitter or Instagram, we've got some Instagram messages already. We're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some music from Sheer Mag with Just Can't Get Enough. We'll be back in just a moment on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. It is 12:17 on this Monday, the 23rd of September. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
Do you remember? Right, anyway, ladies and gents, we are talking about AI, specifically how big tech claims that AI and digitization will bring a better future, but are we ready for AI co-workers? We've been talking to you about this idea of the micro-productivity, how your tasks are broken down and then perhaps you could pass them over to AI, who will learn from those tasks and learn from your emails and learn from your schedule and then dictate to you in a nice way how you should be doing things throughout the day and how you could be more productive. Then I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of people sat at home listening to this thinking, well, isn't that just another way of management finding another way of getting us to do as much as possible during the day?
Yeah.
But really, it's not. It's that you'll still be doing the same amount of work. It's just that it's broken down for you in chunks that are more manageable, and there's less chance of people being stressed. And that's the whole idea of a sales pitch there. Anyway, Auds, what have you got over there?
Yeah, so we were just talking before the break about how we could use AI to help us in our jobs, you know, producing, editing, recording our stuff, script writing even. So, but how will this affect other industries? And just top of mind for me was my recent interview with Pulsify. Now, Pulsify is a HR recruitment company that uses AI to kind of find the best fits for your organization. Now, the services are pretty much like your old school recruitment personnel, but you can do this at any time of day. You know, this recruitment personnel could be sitting with you and doing these tests to see if you're a good fit with the organization at 3 a.m. even. So wherever you are, whatever time, everything is online. And that's just, and of course, this will extend into like career counseling at universities and in schools, you know, because everything is going to be powered by AI. You're just going to be speaking to a screen and it's going to be telling you the best possible options for you, right? So that is HR. But then I did a little bit of digging and I remember when Google Translate first came out.
Oh my word,
all the translators were just like, this is never going to do the job. And I remember how some government agencies actually use Google Translate to make their signs at government offices and all. And we were laughing at it because we thought, oh my God, this is a joke.
I was trying to flirt with a girl in China using Google Translate. I know how bad it is.
There you go. But translators today say that Google Translate is remarkable. It can translate nuances, slang, colorful terms, cultural terms, etc. So this shift towards AI is definitely unfolding across different industries. Some of the other interesting stuff is like the Washington Post, it uses their in-house AI is called Heliograph. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it published some 850 articles in the year 2016. This is back in 2016. So what it does is it kind of adds, it will draft out an article for you, a story for you, and then it's up to the editors and the reporters, the human editors and reporters, to add analysis and colorful details. In graphic designs, AI tools can generate the first pass at designs, and then it's up to, the final execution is done by human designers. And here's what I found the most interesting. There is this corporate law firm in Arizona, and they are using a new technology from a startup called Ross Intelligence. Now, it's a combination of IBM Watson and proprietary algorithms. And what it does is it can comb through millions of pages of case law and write up findings in a draft memo, which is pretty much what like an entry-level lawyer would do, right? A legal assistant would do. But this tool can pull an all-nighter every night.
Whenever it wants.
Every day of the year. And it can... And you know, what they're saying is that like tools like Ross will certainly diminish the need for human lawyers in the discovery process. It's not clear how that will change hiring for entry-level lawyers whose jobs are often based on slogging through these old case law and such, right? But deep analysis and compelling writing is still well outside of Ross's reach. So there's still a need for human lawyers. But you know, this is what it can do. It can just cut down that process for you.
I was reading that about the piece of software Ross as well, about how it can do the discovery for you. And they had one guy saying it's like a first-year law student, and then another one saying actually it's more like a second-year law student. And it depends. The idea, though, is obviously as this gets better, we as humans need to be there to just kind of monitor this thing. So we're all going to be managers in the future, one way or another.
Exactly.
You know,
unless they take your job as well. Because
there's that too, Freely. Yeah, thank you for reminding us.
When you talk about Google Translate, I mean, the more information we give it, right, the clever it gets, right? So soon, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking about a lot of things, and that's where where do we then come in? Where do we then bring value to something when they can, you know, they can predict what you're going to say, you know, like, hey, dude.
The Google Translate, though, is at the stage where you can click your microphone, speak into it, and it translates on the fly and then gives you that translation in the language that you're translating into. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, that wouldn't we'd have dreamed of doing that.
Exactly. But you know, that resistance that you're talking about, that fear that AI is going to take over your job, this is something that we've been discussing on Resource Center for a long, long time. And I think like more recently in Hollywood, there was this company called Scriptbook. And what they did was they created a software, AI-based powered software to evaluate scripts. And they actually signed up with this group called The Blacklist in Hollywood. They are a network for connecting filmmakers and screenwriters, and they signed a partnership with them. And then when Brian Koppelman, he's the executive producer of Billions, it's a great show, you can find it on Netflix, it's really awesome. When they called the tool offensive and gross, The Blacklist quickly canceled its partnership with Scriptbook. And Scriptbook is actually quite useful because it can scan scripts for character analysis, and it can target demographics that would be interested in those scripts, and it can actually predict box office success, among other metrics. So it was quite cool. And of course, the CEO of Scriptbook was saying that, you know, most filmmakers haven't yet been able to get over their fear of Scriptbook, and that's why they're resisting and they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs. But she says that, you know, when industry folk accuse her of creating a tool to steal their jobs, she says, you know what, at some point or another, you're going to lose your jobs because it's not going to be the AI that's going to take over your job. You're going to be replaced by people who are more open to using these tools in their jobs. So you are going to lose your jobs anyway. You just have to adapt or perish.
So here's the thing, and you were talking about the pushback against the AI. Now, here's the discussion that we're going to have at some point, and I think it's kind of coming to the point where we're going to have this discussion, is that we rely so heavily on big data and all of the information that we're getting, and we need somewhere to store all of that big data, and of course we use data centers, which use an awful lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And as we're looking outside and we're seeing the haze, it's going to come to that decision where, you know, if we want to be as smart as the future is telling us we want to be, we also have to find a way of dealing with it in a green and efficient way. You know, otherwise that's going to be a real issue. And people will start rallying against that. And it won't just be we don't want a technology to help us anymore. It will be we don't want the dirty tech to be helping us. And we're going to go back to this Luddite kind of mentality a little bit later on if we're not dealing with it, right? But that's where we are.
That's where we are.
And there are companies who are pushing forward for green data centers and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you are working with one of those or you know of people that, you know, can give us some more information, let us know. But we are talking, of course, about how big tech are claiming that AI and digitization will bring a better future. But are we ready for these AI co-workers? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We had a couple of messages earlier on that I'll refer to. Razu Tosop has said, I don't want an AI co-worker if they're too chatty.
I've got one from Eugene saying, he says, yes, please, I'm tired. Take my job if you have to. He's also asked if we've got breakaway tickets giveaways. No more giveaways, but go to our website, bfm.my/breakaway, and you can get those tickets there.
There you go. Short break, ladies and gents. We've got Iggy Pop with Real Wild Child coming up next. When we come back, our Real Wild Child, Frida Liu, will be talking about Shanghai commuters and how they can design their own bus routes using AI. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.